Welcome to the Visual Storytelling Podcast. My name is Fred Ranger, and I'm so happy that you're joining us this week for another inspirational conversation. Today, I have with me a special guest. His name is Octavian, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, so we'll get into that at some point. And Octavian is based in Brussels. He's a street photographer, an event photographer, a fellow YouTuber. Actually, our channels are, if you follow him, you might follow me. If you follow me, you might follow him. And he's also a Leica and Canon shooter. Octavian, welcome to the show.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm pleased to be here. And finally, like, I can see you and I can like properly hear you and like, yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
So we didn't have any chance to meet so far, but hopefully one day we're going to meet in person and probably do some street photography together.
I'm guessing we'll have a little camera on our side that has only one lens and it's 28 millimeters. I'm guessing. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure, but
that's probably right. I'm going to have a Fuji with me.
Oh, no. Well, I have my Fuji too. I can bring my XE4 if you want. We can do that. Or the Q2. You know?
on a more serious note, I do use a Fuji, not on a regular basis, but I love Fujis. And yeah, I have a Leica as well. So let's start with the beginning. Yeah, I'm a freelance photographer based in Brussels. And like my main job is doing events and mostly events and from time to time weddings, but now I'm focusing on events and corporate pictures. And I'm also a street photographer. And since like the pandemic started, I'm doing also YouTube.
Yes.
And I'm really enjoying it. It is a small channel, like, but it's really enjoyable to do street photography, to do YouTube, and to work on the video side, because I've been mostly like all my life I've been doing photography, and once the pandemics hit, it was time for me to learn a new skill, and I'd started doing YouTube and learning to edit, to do the montage, and
Well, you're very good at it, Octavian, because I remember messaging you and asking you like how do you film those intros? I like the slow motion, I like the slow pace, and then you see Octavian on screen and like, hey, how's it going, guys? And then we go straight into the POV street shooting. So I like your style of video, but most importantly, really, really enjoy you sharing the process of how you make those images. And I would actually commend you for your use of light and shadow. So let's go a little bit back in time. And what brought you to photography in the first place? What was kind of your first, you know, endeavor into the world of taking still images?
Well, actually, I remember quite good. My first pictures were with a Canon camera, like 15 years ago, probably. And they were flowers, so nothing interesting here. But I was fascinated by photography. And very quickly, I developed like a passion for documentary photography, for news photography, more on the reportage side as well. And then it was like... I started to learn myself photography and starting to get into street photography as well. And I was very like young. I was a student and I started to work with a press agency back home in Romania because I'm Romanian. And it was like a part-time job, more of a freelancing. And then I discovered like my passion for press photography, but mostly for documentary photography. This was my first passion.
And would you say that all that learnings through the years have brought you to use kind of your reportage documentary learnings into the corporate world or the events world, even the wedding photography world? Is that something you use and apply in other genre photography?
I guess so. And now I dedicated myself to do like events and mostly events that involve like a reportage and documentary approach. So I think it helped me a lot because when you're doing this this kind of reportage of pictures, you have more you tend to be more creative to find different angles to tell a story. So it helps you globally. Like I would say, like street photography, when you're trying to do street photography, when you're doing street photography, it helps you not only be better at street photography, but it improves your other I don't know, types of photography, even portrait, even like if you're starting to do portraits of people on the street, you're gonna, then if you have like corporate portraits to do, maybe you're gonna be better because you're understanding light better, you're understanding like the conditions that you have in front of you. These are the conditions, so you cannot change anything, so you're gonna just be better at what are they doing. So yeah.
And let's talk about your street photography, because this is something you've invested a lot of time over the past couple years. You've documented a lot of it on YouTube and for the benefit of all the viewers, including me. What interests you in street photography? Why are you deciding to go out, you know, early in the morning or hop on the train and document the streets of either Brussels or when you travel?
First of all, I guess it's really my love and my passion for people. I really love people. I love being out, so that's why I decided to be a photographer, because I've studied other things and I really wanted to be more to do some more field work, to do something that's more dynamic and it's more creative. So yeah, first of all, I would say that's my passion for people. I love streets. I love being outside. I hate being outside when it's raining in Brussels, and it's raining quite a lot. So, we're unlucky a little
more
bit.
More than in London, Octavian? Is it raining more than in London? Like, is that what you're saying?
people still debate on this, but it's. I guess the part that really sucks here in Brussels is the lack of sun. You have like I don't know. Days or weeks when you don't see any sun, it's like gray. I don't know if the weather is the same in Canada, but it's like basically the same in London as well, I guess, with lots of rain and yeah.
But it makes for some good photos, right? So I've seen you in total pouring rain, and you managed to pull out some interesting shots, right?
Yeah, but I don't quite find the motivation to go out when it's raining. I have to be honest here. But when it's sunny and when the weather is great, I just feel like going out and spending one day in shooting street photography. So yeah.
And Octavian, who inspires you to, you know, pick up your camera every day and do that personal type of work? Is there someone or a book or a movie or something that actually motivated you to say, you know what, I'm going to be 8 hours out and shooting photos?
Well, I have like three major like photographers that inspire me. There's Matt Stewart, and there's Alex Webb, and a friend of mine actually that's living in Bucharest, and I really love his work. His name is Cosmin Gârleșteanu. He's a very good street photographer based in Romania. And sometimes I don't have like the motivation or the urge to go outside, and I just scroll on Instagram and I see some pictures from Matt Stewart or Alex Webb or my friend Cosmin, and I say, wow, these are some great pictures. I would like to do some great pictures as well. And even though I go out for one day and I come back with no pictures at all or only bad pictures, it's still a successful day because I spend a day outside doing pictures. So yeah.
Yeah, it's so important. You're talking about Matt Stewart. That's and of course Alex Webb, the master of layers. I think to your point, when you feel like you're in a creative rut, it's so easy now to either hop on Instagram or to grab a book. I actually recommend grabbing a book, to be honest, versus Instagram. Instagram is instant gratification. You can see on-demand inspiration, but you can also feel a bit weird after scrolling through Instagram, right? And it's cues towards something that works for the algorithm, which has, you know, nothing wrong with the algorithm, but it does serve you a certain type of photography. Whereas in books, if you're buying a book from 1996, well, those were the photos that, you know, that photographer wanted to share at that time. There was no playing the algorithm or anything like that. So I think books are very interesting. Matt is definitely way out there. I love his work. And also you mentioned Alex Webb. I think The Suffering of Light, I don't know for you, but that book for me was a revelation. I went through all the pages and I was in awe at every single photo that was shown in that book. How about you?
Actually, I remember seeing Alex Webb work like a couple of years ago, but I didn't like felt very drawn to it. And I recently rediscovered it, and I watched like all the videos on YouTube, all the books that I could find, and this inspired me to work more on layers, to get more layers in my pictures. And I love challenges. I'm like a person that really loves to challenge itself, himself, and I'm really into it, into layers, trying to work my pictures, to work the scene, to get more layers. So this is like really a source of inspiration for me. And I'm grateful now I can like fully understand his work and trying to get better at street photography by watching his pictures. So, yeah.
Yeah. And would you say that, you know, being in the photography business, so making a living out of photography, do you find this draining, inspiring? Because I've talked to a lot of people in the business that said, you know what, I'm kind of burned out because I shoot throughout the day, the weekends, and so on and so forth. Do you find it hard for you to have personal passion project like your street photography and also having a camera on weekends and on nights and events and so on and so forth?
Sometimes yes, when I have like lots of work and I don't have any time to like to decompress, to go out and shoot street photography, I really find it very hard, especially when it's sunny outside and we don't get lots of sunny days in Belgium. But I love it as well because working as a freelancer, it gives me more time during the week sometimes, where I have 2 days where I can focus on my YouTube videos or I focus on street photography. So it's like, for me, like they say, good balance. So I'm not complaining from this point of view, but sometimes when I finish work, so like, let's say I'm taking pictures of a conference or an event, I finish work, I just want to take my camera and to do some street photography. It's a way of decompressing and a way of like unwinding after 8 hours of taking pictures in a room, you know. So yeah,
I can only imagine the feeling after 8 hours of shooting. The hands must be hurting at the end of the day.
Yeah, it happened to me quite often. Yeah, especially if you're doing like this kind of events and you have like a conference on 3 days and you start like at 9 o'clock and you finish at 6 in the evening. It's pretty hard, but afterwards when the days are longer and you can go out and do street, even starting at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, just 1 hour of street photography, it makes a difference.
That's for sure. Your love of people, I want to go back to that because that's something that, you know, I would describe your photography as very human, you know, like portraying human life and human, I would even go to say human interaction or, you know, connection. It doesn't have to be two people in your image. You do have a lot of those interactions between two humans, but sometimes it's somebody interacting with themselves. I see a photo of a guy with his hands on his face in an elevator, not elevator, but escalator. And that for me is a very nice picture. Also the tones and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, how do you choose to capture a scene? What triggers your trigger, if I may say, you know, what makes you press the shutter when you see a scene unfolding in front of your eyes?
Sometimes it's just a simple gesture. Sometimes it's the light or expression. I want to like to capture like a thing that happens once, you know, and it never like happens again. There are lots of people and lots of pictures when I take pictures of people and I don't keep them because they are not pretty good. But I want it to be a little bit like unusual or out of the ordinary, you know. It has to be something that somebody will look at the picture and say, wow, he captured that gesture or he captured that expression. That's nice, you know. So I'm trying to to give a little bit more depth to make people like, well, yeah, to tell a story that's pretty hard and pretty complex. But ideal would be to tell a story and to have people wondering what's happening in the picture, or why he's like, I don't know, having his hands on his face, or so. Yeah, trying to get a little bit more depth into my pictures.
Yeah, I really like where this is heading, because as you can imagine, this is the visual storytelling podcast, so it's all about, you know, telling stories. What makes a good story for you? Because again, it can be something unusual, can be a gesture and so on and so forth, but when you look at other people's work, what makes you tick? What makes you appreciate the visual story that you're looking at?
Personally, when I look at a good picture, sometimes I ask myself, what's going on? What are the surroundings? Like, what is happening? Why is the subject having that interaction? And you, from that, like from asking these questions, you can start like developing a story in your head. So for me, it's like you have the photographer that wants to communicate something, and the reader, the person that see the picture and has its own scenario, or it has on his own side of story. And this is very, very interesting. It has to be like a picture that that, you know, once you see it, you start to ask questions, or it's just an intuition. It's a simple observation that you say, well, this picture is great. And then when you start to analyze it, you just see that the picture is pretty good. So, yeah.
Speaking of those pictures, Octavian, I'm looking at one that is fascinating. I'm sure you'll remember it, but it was a while back, 77 weeks ago.
But 77. Okay.
You've got a guy that's kind of like crouched, and he's looking at a gun on the street that's laying down, and there's a condom, you know, just next to it. And this scene is surreal. Can you tell us how you spotted that, and what the hell was happening there?
Actually, that's a toy gun. So,
thank you for confirming. Now I'm not sure.
I'm not sure that on the left side there's a condom, but
it's like maybe it's a chocolate envelope.
Yeah, probably that's the case. I saw this person. I didn't have my GoPro, so normally when I go out, I go out with my GoPro. I'm setting myself to a target to do YouTube street photography video, so I carry my camera with a GoPro on it. But this time it was just a short walk in the city center, and I didn't have any time to do a video. So I said myself, I'm just going to take my camera with me. And he was probably packing his toy gun for, I don't know, for his kids maybe, or I don't know. But it was just interesting to see a gun on the floor and someone just with the back. And it was just a nice, surreal scene in Belgium. Otherwise, Belgium
is
called...
It does look real. I will say that. It does look real. But yeah. Again, it's good that it was a toy. It does have the little yellow thing on the handle, but I don't know if that's a sign or no that it's real or not. But again, great moment. You spotted it. And would you say that photography brings you a level of awareness that, especially for street photographer, that you didn't have before you started to chase those moments?
Yes and no. Actually, I was always curious by nature. So I just, without a camera, I'm just looking at the people, looking at their faces, and trying to see if they have a story behind. You know, just in my hand, it was like I was just looking at pictures. Sometimes I was just staring at people on the street and just look at them, and I've tried to like develop a story in the back of my head, but. I'm very curious. I have a very curious nature, and street photography. It was, for me, it was a lesson to be to anticipate more, because if you're curious, then you're prepared. So if everything happens on the street, and then you're curious, you're there on the spot, you're aware of your surroundings, you're gonna anticipate more and more, I guess.
Yeah, that's so true. The aspect of anticipation is what I think makes a good street photographer. Not that there's any specific qualities you should have, but that's one that if you have it, being able to anticipate them. I'm thinking about the great street photographers like Joel Meritz, and you mentioned a couple others. Those guys, I don't know how they did it, but and again, we're only seeing the good work. I'm sure they have thousands of bad frames. They even admitted themselves, and everybody has bad frames, but the level of awareness gives them, and anticipation gives them, the ability to frame a shot before it happens. And there's cameras that can help for that, and a lot of people are shooting Leica cameras to do that. I know you're not shooting the rangefinder style of camera, but you're not shooting the real rangefinder like the M10 and so on and so forth. I know you tried it, but what made you go to, especially for street photography, and I know you shoot Fuji, but mainly with the Q2 and the Leica system?
Actually, I started with I bought a Ricoh GR3 a couple of years ago, and that was my only camera for street photography, and that was my camera to go out and shoot street. Afterwards, there was the Leica Q2 coming out. It was advertised. I've seen lots of reviews. I've read a lot about it, and I said to myself, I'm just gonna buy this camera, the Leica Q2, and I'm gonna stick with it, and it's gonna be my only camera that I'm gonna shoot from now on. So I sold my Ricoh. I bought the Q2. Afterwards, I bought a Fuji, but I love the Fuji simulations. I have never used. I've used recently just once the Leica M 11 monochrome, and
yeah, I saw that in your video. Nice shots, by the way.
Thank you. And I love the experience. I'm not used to do the zone focusing. I'm not used to this type of cameras, but it has something that's a little bit magical. You know, first of all, I was like surprised how the files and how when you press the shutter, it really feels like you're still shooting film. This is my opinion. I may be wrong.
I agree.
And,
I agree with you.
And it gives you like this. For me, it was like it gives me this patience. I don't shoot like 300 pictures in 1 hour. I just take my time. I just do the focus. I take 2-3 shots, then I change the position. It's just I don't know. It's something. It is something about it that's wonderful, and probably it is a unique experience shooting with a Leica rangefinder camera. And this is the price that you pay for a unique experience.
Yep.
It's very pricey, but I would say it's an experience that you cannot find with any other cameras. And I love the files as well, coming out from the Leica monochrome. And I love Fuji as well. I'm just going back to Fuji because I'm working on a video with the Fuji. And I recently did a recipe on my Fuji XE4 Portra 400 recipe. Which looks absolutely great on the Fuji, and I'm really satisfied with the pictures. But at the end of the day, I do still think like the cameras are just some tools in order to use your creativity. Some of them are better, or some of them are intended for street photography, and they will probably give you a better experience shooting street photography. I cannot see myself going out and shooting street photography with my Canons, even though they're like great cameras.
Although I think you didn't you do a video with the Canon in the street with the big lens just to prove that you can do it?
I've done with the Canon, but it was a mirrorless Canon, a small one.
Oh, okay, okay. So it was not the big DSLR, like it wasn't a...
No, but I've done with the Hasselblad X2D, and it was a pretty nice experience, but I focused more on portraits, and it's a brilliant camera, not intended for street photography, but yeah, it's pretty big and chunky.
Yeah, for sure. Film simulation, I love them too. I started with Nikon, and then I moved on to Fuji X100, and that's the original one. I think they were calling them Fine Pix X100 back then. And the rest is history, and I've been a loyal fan of that system, especially the XE4. And I want to talk about that because that's kind of, for me, and I want to see if you feel the same. For me, it's kind of the ultimate Fujifilm camera because it's so small, it's pocketable. I mean, you do have to have certain space in your pockets, maybe not skinny jean pocketable, but who wears skinny jeans in 2023? That's another topic. That's another podcast. but it's so small. It has all the film simulation. I think it's just missing one, like the latest we have in our latest Fuji. Yeah. But the sensor is so great. It's so small. You can have all the lenses you want, especially that 27-28. That's one that I really enjoy because it's a pancake lens. So for me, it's the ultimate, although the cheapest or one of the cheapest Fujifilm cameras. For me, it's the ultimate one. How do you feel about that?
Actually, that's my topic to my next video on YouTube.
Oh, there you go. We're aligned then.
that I'm working on it. So it's actually, I don't use the 27 millimeters. I've sold it and I bought the 18 millimeters, which is more like my focal length of doing street photography.
Yeah, so but the camera 28, right?
But the camera, I love it, and some people say this is a baby X100V. Personally, for me, it's, if I can like say it like this way, it's like my Ricoh GR. For me, it's as you said, it's you can put it in a pocket and just go out and street. The image quality is absolutely great. It's pretty fast, and it's really a great camera. And sadly, it's been discontinued. So. It's been canceled. I have no idea if the line XE it's canceled or just the camera, or maybe it's a new camera coming very soon. But it's one of the greatest camera that I had the chance to use on the street, and it never disappoints, you know.
Yeah, it's a. It's an interesting move from Fuji to discontinue it. But at the end of the day, I think they've, you know, they're a business. Sometimes we like to think that these camera brands are, you know, only thinking about photographers and street photographers and this and that. But as a matter of fact, most of those companies, where they make the money is to optics for medical, you know, stuff. So that's, you know, the cameras are great, but it's one revenue stream among others. And if you don't see that the numbers are there, because as much as Octavian and Fred and Faisal and all these guys love their XE4, maybe they didn't sell, you know, to expectation, and it's their prerogative to decide to close it down or no. Although, like you said, it might be, and we've seen it in the past, where they discontinued a model and then a new one replaced it. So hopefully that's the case for that style of camera at Fuji. But they've got, you know, there's other choices if you're interested in a small Fuji camera. Of course, there's the X100 if you can find one, but the used market, you know, I wouldn't go V right now. I sold mine for a price that I'm like, okay, you want to pay that, pay it. But
so you're one of those guys, huh?
No, I didn't put it like, you know, some people put it $2,000 and stuff. I didn't do that. What I did is I put it for the same price I paid it for. Okay. And somebody was willing to pick it up. And you know, it was a fair deal. It's like if I rented it for a couple years and then somebody wanted it. And my stuff was clean. So win-win situation. And he couldn't find one anywhere, even on or one that has a decent price anywhere. So all that being said, I think there will be always rangefinder style cameras in the Fuji lineup, whether it's the X-Pro, XE, or other types of cameras that will come up. And that's a good news because as much as I understand the XT line and the XH, I have an XH2S for my videos, it's not for everyone. You know, it's a bit more like your Canons when you shoot on the streets with that. So, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, talking about revenues and... like, I feel like I don't know if it's street photography is becoming more and more popular nowadays, but I have lots of people that sent me messages saying that after watching the videos and lots of videos on YouTube, they decided to go to buy the Leica Q2. Fuji X100V also, it has a terrible success, extraordinary success among street photographers, and that's probably the reason you cannot find it anywhere to buy it nowadays. So I feel like the Leica Q2 and the Fuji X100V, there were like cameras that sold very good, and I don't know if more people are getting into street photography, but these are the cameras
to be honest,
hard to find.
Yeah, exactly. And judging by the number of messages I get through DMs and YouTube comments and so on, I think you are right. I think more people are getting into it. It's a very nice creative outlet. It's something I even, you know, consider it as therapy. And I know you feel the same. You just mentioned it earlier in the podcast. For you, just going out, the act of going out, being on the street, breathing some air versus going in, you know, in a inside room or your studio and so on and so forth. It's very healthy. So it's not just, you know, the photography that's interesting. It's what comes with it. And then you meet people, interesting people. You go through experiences, some that are positive, negative, neutral. Like it's the whole thing, right? So I think it's gaining in popularity. And also, I mean, the XE4, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like $800 or $850. So it's quote unquote affordable to get into, you know, the game, and you get a very, very capable camera. Actually, if you compare it to Leica Q2, then you're like, well, you know, maybe there's something there about brand and brand equity and so on. But the XE4 is very capable for the price.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. The price, and I got myself my camera on secondhand, and it was a very good price. And I'm really enjoying shooting with it. I don't know if you have the same feeling as me, but when I go out with my Fujis and take pictures, I just look at the pictures that I took, and with the applied simulation on the camera, I just feel like it gives me the incentive to shoot more and the desire to shoot more, and I really like the way the picture is shown on the screen, and it just motivates me to get more pictures, and I love this kind of feeling. And it's the same thing with my Leica Q2. It's just a beautiful camera, and aesthetically, when you see it, you just want to pick it up and go out and shoot street photography. Even though if you're not like having a good day, as you said, like walking, getting some fresh air, talking to people. I love talking to people on the street and meeting, I don't know, performers on the street and having a chat. At the end of the day, you just feel better, you know. So
No, I'm totally like you, and that's something that I even shot a whole series called Life's a Beach, and it was, I will admit it, it was all film sim, and it was actually the Porto 400 V2, and nice. I posted it like that, and I'm satisfied, and people are reacting well, and some people are buying prints. So wow. I went from thinking that you need to absolutely edit every single image you shoot to shooting on the beach with that film sim, posting it, and voila, you're done. So that's pretty powerful. And not a lot of camera brands can do that. That's pretty much only Fuji. And I agree that the files look already good on the back of a Q2, but I still edit my Q2 files. I don't use the JPEGs. How about you?
Same here. I always shoot in RAW with my Leica Q2, and then I edit my pictures in Lightroom. I love a little bit of more to give more contrast to my pictures. But now using the Fuji, I'm starting to use the JPEGs, and the only minor thing that I do is cropping and maybe some contrast, some black and whites. But that's all. I love this that you can do this, and it's. It's a process that doesn't take much time. And I'm trying also to shift from my style of photography to working more, as I said, with layers, to involve more people, more to get more depth in the pictures. And this is one of my, let's say, my goals for the next coming years to get better pictures.
That's a very good goal to have. Always 28. Millimeter. So you don't want to venture into other focal length. You want to master that focal length. Is that also a goal of yours in the next year?
I feel like 28 is my focal length. Is the focal length that I prefer. 35 millimeters is the maximum that I would personally go. That's nothing wrong with going above. But I feel comfortable at 28 millimeters. I love going close to people, and sometimes I love even the interaction having with people when they're notice that I'm taking pictures of them, you know, and they're like sometimes they're confused, sometimes they're a little bit maybe angry. I just love this type of interaction, you know. But 28 for me, it gives me enough space to get close to the subject and to get more in the frame. So yeah, this is my preferred focal length.
And what would you say was the biggest learning in starting that street photography endeavor, you know, shooting almost every week or even every day, and also meeting all those people, bringing your camera, you know, everywhere you go? What was the biggest learning over the past few years?
The biggest learning, I have two lessons. One is I actually started doing street photography a long time ago, like when I was into press photography, but then I stopped. I stopped because I said to myself, I need to focus on my business now. I need to get more clients. I don't have time to waste on doing street photography. So I need really to learn how to promote my website, to get more clients, to get more work, recommendation, and so on. So one of my biggest lessons that I learned, it's actually my biggest regret, is that I've stopped doing street photography for a couple of years. And the second learning probably is that it's impossible to do good pictures like every day. You have like days or weeks when you're just not inspired, or pictures are not coming out the way you want. And you were talking about Instagram, and that's one of the reasons I really love the podcast with Lucas. You scroll on Instagram and you see lots of good pictures, you know, like there are lots of photographers, and you have this volume, this immense volume of good pictures coming to you, and it builds up a frustration because you're going out 2-3 days and you're not getting any good pictures, and Instagram feeds you with very good pictures, you know, good portfolio and good pictures, especially this large accounts of street photography. So it's like it takes patience, it takes practice. So it's impossible to do on each outing good street photography, you know. So basically these are the two lessons that I've learned.
And again, I go back to our earlier point, don't feed yourself only social media, and especially Instagram, because it's not the reality. I love when Sean Tucker or, you know, people like that talk about the failures, because I think you learn more from the failures than the successes. And that's not everybody who's ready to do that. So I commend people like Sean Tucker. Mad Day is another one where they share, you know, what's not going well and how they got to a point where they wanted to quit photography or whatever. So that for me is way more insightful than seeing somebody doing bangers, whatever word is trending, bangers on Instagram, you know, like and I see a lot of those, unfortunately. But that's, again, some people are making a living out of sharing street photography bangers. So I understand the logic, but I don't like it.
Yeah, that's true. Imagine like you're doing, each time you're going out, you're doing banger street photography, and it's, then you don't have this satisfaction when you're, you know, you're doing a good picture in 3 days or 4 days. And there's another thing that I want to talk about. I don't know if you have this feeling as well, but personally, when I'm out on the streets and I press the shutter button, and without looking at the pictures or without seeing the picture, I know that I got a good picture. Yeah. And it's a crazy intuition that you have. Like once you press the shutter button, you know, every element in the frame is good, and you got it, you captured the thing that you wanted, and you don't need a confirmation of that. You just like know it, you know. That's a pretty crazy feeling.
100%. And I think this is the drug, right? This is what personally I'm drawn into in terms of street photography. So it's having that feeling of, I think I captured something unique and think the framing is pretty good, but I don't have the urge to review, you know, if it's in focus or whatever. So that's that. I completely agree with you, and it's a very good point. And I think, you know, the listeners to this podcast, visual storytelling is not about, you know, how sharp a picture is, what are the micro contrast detail, like this, not about that. It's about, does that image make you feel something? And I think I just, you know, talked about one of your pictures that made me feel something, whether the guy with the hands on the face or the guy with the gun. Now I know that's not a condom, so that's that for that story. But I think for me, that's that again, that's what's most important. The technical part, I think, of course, if you do events like you do, you know, people have to have their eyes in focus if you shoot, and the scene needs to be well lit and so on. But that's a very different mindset. Talk about that, Octavian. How do you go from wearing a hat where you're like, I want to tell stories, to one that, you know, is I need to get the shot for the client? How do you manage that on a weekly basis?
Well, it's like you have to be like, I'm like work focused, and I know I have to do my my job properly for clients that I'm working and delivering. And for me, yeah, as you said, it street photography, it's like pure therapy, and you have just like, I don't know, I find myself in a good separation and a very good balance, being a photographer, working for clients, and doing street photography on a regular basis. I have also, like, when I'm doing YouTube videos, POV, street photography, I dedicate normally one day when I'm gonna shoot only street photography. So I'm out with my camera and my GoPro, and I'm just enjoying the day, but I'm in the moment. I'm trying to get as much as I can during that day. And I know that next day I'm going back to working for clients and doing the pictures the client need. So for me, it works very well when you find this balance between
nice
your photography. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to hear again, because I know a lot of people are struggling with that portion of being a photographer. Octavian, what would you say, and this is pretty much we're nearing the end of the podcast, but I want you to talk about, you know, kind of what would you say to a younger Octavian or somebody who wants to get into the photography world? What would be your advice? Because to your point, a lot of people want to do street photography, want to do photography in general. What would be your advice?
I know it sounds a little bit cliche, but I guess you have to start with the classics. The more you look at photography, the more you understand the history of photography and how the photography developed over the years from the beginnings to let's say to now, which it changed a little bit the approach. It changed the way of street photography is understood now. So first of all, you have to, the more you look at street photography, the more you understand the history of photography, the better you are. It's like if you want to write an essay or write a book, the more you read, the better you get. Like, so this is one good advice. And the second one, like, never quit and just go out and shoot, because you never know. You have like maybe 2 weeks when you don't get any good shot, and I don't know, one day you get 3 good shots. So yeah, probably print your photos as well. I don't do it as much as I want, but it's something very satisfying when looking at a printed picture, and you see and you understand it differently, I guess. So yeah.
So important. I completely agree with everything you said, but especially the last point about printing your work. For me, it changed the way I look at my images, and sometimes, you know, what you see on screen is very different than what you will feel once it's printed. So get a printer. I don't care, you know, Canon, Epson, whatever, and doesn't have to be one that's super expensive, but, you know, try printing some work, try printing some stories. And if you don't have a printer, of course, there are still, imagine or not, believe it or not, labs where you can print photos. And I encourage you to, you know, go local and go see them and have your work printed. Well, Octavian, it's been such a pleasure to have a chat with you. If people want to learn more about your YouTube stuff and your photography and what's next for you, where should they go?
They should definitely go on on my new website. It's octavianstreet.com. So thank you for having me. They'll find the links to YouTube and all the information on my brand new website dedicated to street photography.
Perfect. And we will put the link in the show notes. So make sure you click on Octavian's website and see all about what he's doing at the moment and the future work. And if you like what you're hearing, if you like this series of podcasts, please, this is, by the way, an ad-free podcast. So what we ask you to do is to go in the comments of Apple Podcast or YouTube or Spotify and leave a comment and rate it 5-star if you like it, or share it with your friends, because I'm sure you have a photographer, friend, or somebody who's interested in visual storytelling that might benefit from hearing conversations like this one we had today. Until then, if you want to communicate with me, you can find me at Fred Ranger on YouTube also, just like Octavian. We have similar channels, like I said, so you should follow both of us. And also on Twitter and Instagram, of course, always under Fred Ranger. And my website is fredranger.com. So Octavian, I wish you a very pleasant reminder of the week. And hopefully we're going to meet in person in Brussels or Montreal or wherever we are in the world. And thank you,
Fred. Yep. See you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.